morning, everyone, and welcome to Coca-Cola FEMSA's fourth quarter 2013 conference call. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded, and all participants are in listen-only mode. At the request of the company, we will open the conference up for question and answers after the presentation. During this conference call, management may discuss certain forward-looking statements concerning Coca-Cola FEMSA's future performance and should be considered as good faith estimates made by the company. These forward-looking statements reflect management's expectations and are based upon currently available data. Actual results are subject to future events and uncertainties, which can materially impact the company's actual performance. At this time, I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Hector Treviño, Coca-Cola FEMSA's Chief Financial Officer. Please go ahead, Mr. Treviño.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. As many of you are aware, during the fourth quarter of 2013, we continue to face a difficult consumer environment, mainly in Mexico and Brazil, and currency volatility across our Latin American markets. Nevertheless, our balanced geographic portfolio and our revenue management initiatives enable us to deliver organic currency neutral revenue growth of 12% for the quarter. Our reported consolidated total revenues reached close to 43 billion Mexican pesos in the fourth quarter, including the non-comparable effect of results from Grupo Yoli in Mexico and the operations of Fluminense and Spaipa, which were integrated into our Brazilian franchise in September and November of 2013, respectively. Our consolidated gross profit margin was negatively affected by the devaluation of the currencies in our South American division and Mexico as applied to our U.S. dollar-denominated input costs, which offset lower sugar and relatively flat PET prices in most of our franchise territories. With regard to our consolidated expenses, we continue to see higher labor and freight costs, especially across our South American division, and more recently, freight cost pressures in our Mexican operations as well. As we have done throughout the year, we continue to reinforce our marketplace execution, enhance our returnable packaging base, and foster our magic price points strategy to intensify our opportunities to connect with the consumers across our territories. During the quarter, our net income reached 3.1 billion Mexican pesos. A larger debt balance resulting from our recent acquisitions led to higher interest expense. Moreover, the effect of the quarterly depreciation of the Mexican peso on our dollar-denominated net debt position gave rise to a foreign exchange loss. Now, let's discuss our operations. In Mexico, an economic slowdown resulted in the deteriorating of the consumer environment through 2013. More recently, we experienced lower average temperatures and increased rainfall over the last 4 months of the year. Our reported volume growth in Mexico for the quarter was 5%, including the non-comparable results of Grupo Yoli. Adjusting for these results, our volumes declined close to 1%, reflecting ongoing consumer dynamics and bad weather conditions. Organically, the personal water category grew 8%, driven by the CL brand, and the non-carbonated beverage category remained flat. Notably, Powerade grew 23% during the quarter and continued to gain share across sales channels. Our Mexican operation has focused on affordability through returnability to connect more closely with our consumers. Our returnable packaging portfolio grew 5%, gaining 180 basis points in our mix of sparkling beverages. This increase was supported by 32% growth of our 500 milliliter returnable glass presentation, the recent introduction of our 3-liter returnable PET presentation for brand Coca-Cola in the Valley of Mexico, and a 12% growth of our 1.25-liter returnable glass presentation. All of these presentations were complemented by the performance of our 2.5-liter returnable package for Cidral Mundet in the Valley of Mexico. In Central America, we achieved 4% volume growth during the quarter. We delivered positive volumes in every country, especially our Guatemalan operation, which volume grew almost 8%. Growth in the region was mainly driven by 4% growth of brand Coca-Cola, coupled with the sustained momentum from the Jugos del Valle line of business and the 20% growth of Fuze Tea and the continued strong performance of Power. For the fourth quarter, our reported Mexico and Central American division total revenues grew 7%. On an organic, currency-neutral basis, the division revenues grew 1%, reflecting lower volumes and an average price per unit case increase below the rate of inflation, which mainly resulted from a shift in our packaging mix to both returnable and multi-serve presentations. Organically, lower sugar prices were partially offset by the depreciation of the Mexican pesos applied to our U.S. dollar-denominated raw materials cost, resulting in a gross margin expansion of 40 basis points in the division. Overall, our division's organic operative cash flow margin expanded 30 basis points for the quarter, despite ongoing marketing investment and freight cost pressures resulting from lower volumes and higher fuel prices. For the full year of 2013, our Mexico and Central America division delivered an operative cash flow margin expansion of 110 basis points. As many of you may know, as of January 1st, 2014, the new excise tax on sugary beverages went into effect. This requires beverage companies to pay a 1 peso per liter tax on any beverage that contains either sugar or fructose. As anticipated, since January 1st, 2014, we passed this excise tax on to the end consumer through an average price increase of 16%. In anticipation of an environment where many companies, in addition to those in the beverage industry, had to raise prices on account of increased taxes, we reinforce both our returnable portfolio and our one-way PET single-serve platform through 2030. Consequently, today, we offer our consumers a more robust and affordable portfolio to enjoy the most beloved soft drink brand in the world. We are confident that our amplified portfolio of returnable presentations, our magic price point strategy, and our relentless focus on point of sale execution will enable us to win in the marketplace. In January, despite the pricing initiatives implemented and an aggressive competitive landscape, our market share of sparkling beverages remains stable across our territories when compared to the previous year. More importantly, in the Valley of Mexico, both brand Coca-Cola and our flavored sparkling beverage portfolio gained more than 1 percentage point of market share. Looking forward to the rest of 2014, our operators' consistent execution of our strategy position us well to capture marketplace opportunities and remain the preferred choice of our consumers. On top of the initiatives we have implemented for our regular sparkling beverage portfolio, and in the spirit of getting closer to our consumers, we are working to increase the point of sale coverage and packaging alternatives for our low-calorie sparkling beverage portfolio, which was unaffected by the excise tax and provides an additional alternative for our consumers. Aside from our top-line initiatives, we have been working to optimize our fixed cost structure since the beginning of the year. We will continue these efforts to protect the profitability and cash flow generation of our Mexican business. Moving on to our South American division, our operations organic volume declined 2% during the quarter. This decrease resulted from a continued soft consumer and macroeconomic environment in Brazil and certain operational disruptions in Venezuela. In Brazil, as of September, we are including the results from Compañía Fluminense, and as of November, we are including the results of Spica as well. As we enter the summer season in Brazil, our organic performance continued to reflect a soft consumer environment and heavy rainfalls in our Minas Gerais franchise, coupled with lower temperatures across our territories. Consequently, our organic volume in Brazil declined 11% for the fourth quarter. During the quarter, we completed our portfolio strategy to intensify our connection with our consumers through magic price points for single-serve consumption and our affordable, returnable 2-liter presentation. We launched a 200-milliliter one-way PET presentation for brand Coca-Cola at R1, replacing our 250-milliliter presentation in the traditional sales channel. We reinforced the on-premise channel through our 300-milliliter one-way PET presentation at R2. Additionally, our popular 12-ounce can will allow us to play an important role at the R3 price point. And finally, we are offering our 600-milliliter one-way PET presentations at R4. Taking into account the recent launch of our 200-milliliter presentation, we are encouraged by the point of sale coverage and price compliance that our operators have achieved thus far. More importantly, our 2-liter returnable presentation for brand Coca-Cola grew 14%, supported by our team's effort to increase the package at home penetration and acceptance. As a result, we increased the mix of returnable presentations in our portfolio to 15.5%, an increase of 160 basis points versus last year. In light of their positive results, we will continue to work to increase the point of sale coverage of these presentations to provide our consumers with a wide array of attractive alternatives to quench their thirst. As we have often noted, our organic infrastructure and marketplace investments, along with the integration of Fluminense and Spica, are testaments of our company's positive long-term view on Brazil. In the short term, a much-anticipated sport event will allow us to generate momentum in 2014. The FIFA World Cup, to be played in June and July, will not only drive incremental sales of our beverages during the event, but also, more importantly, will provide the Coca-Cola system with a perfect opportunity to increase connection with our consumers in every event and promotion leading up to the World Cup. Thus far, our Mini Garrafinas de Todo Mundo promotion has proved immensely popular with consumers, and among many other promotions and events, we look forward to hosting the trophy tour in our territory during April. Operationally, the start of 2014 is already encouraging. Our portfolio initiatives are making direct connection with consumers, and coupled with favorable weather conditions, our organic volumes are up by high single digits so far this year. Through the integration of Spica and Fluminense, we have enjoyed the opportunity to enrich our management bench with the talented executives from these franchises. For the rest of 2014, we are confident that our expanded operation in Brazil, bolstered by another invigorated team of professionals, will continue to work constantly to reinforce our marketplace execution and improve our operations top-line performance, supported by a more robust portfolio of offerings for our consumers, a simplified picture of success for our clients, and selective price increases across our territories. We will continue to optimize our operating structure in the country, encouraged by the fact that we have already started to capture the benefits of our identified synergies from the integrated territories as of 2014. Moving on to Argentina, during the quarter, we achieved more than 8% volume growth. This increase was mainly driven by the remarkable 30% growth of our flavor sparkling beverage portfolio, as our local operators prepare in advance to meet peak season demand, reducing out-of-stock indicators and improving delivery efficiency rates. Additionally, brand Coca-Cola grew 3%, supported by the recent launch of Coca-Cola Life and the performance of Coca-Cola Light and Coca-Cola Zero. Furthermore, our Bonacqua water brand continues to contribute significantly to this operation's growth, successfully building on its launch in the fourth quarter and last year with solid growth performance. The non-carbonated beverage category grew 8%, driven by the successful launch of Fuse Tea and the Cepita Juice Bar. During 2014, we are confident that our Argentine operators will continue to perform well through the current consumer environment, capitalizing on an improved operational structure and a strong portfolio of products and packages, while relentlessly focusing on cost discipline and efficiency optimization. Moving on to Venezuela, during the quarter, we faced a considerable slowdown in our Maracaibo plant and distribution center due to a labor contract negotiation. Consequently, this operation's volume was down almost 6% in the quarter. The non-carbonated beverage category grew 24%, driven by Del Valle Fresh, which grew 31%, and Capo, which grew 41%. Our bottled water portfolio grew 28%, supported by the performance of the Nevada flavored water portfolio, which has enjoyed great acceptance among consumers locally. These increases were offset by a decline in sparkling beverages. Year to date, we continue to see strong consumer spending levels that are reflected in the positive volumes for this operation. In the first 2 months of the year, our operations volume has grown mid-single digits, successfully building on 2 years of important growth. Despite the tough macroeconomic and operating environment, we are confident that our Venezuelan team has the right tools and skills to better execute our picture of success at the point of sale, increase cooler coverage, and maintain the flexibility to launch products and packages that will meet our consumers' demand. In Colombia, our strategy continues to yield positive results. Despite tough consumer and competitive environment, during the quarter, our volume increased 9%, successfully building on a 10% increase during the fourth quarter of 2012. Brand Coca-Cola grew 10%, driven mainly by the continued success of our 1.25-liter returnable glass presentation and the launch of additional multi-serve one-way presentations to cover market price points for the consumer, and our affordable entry pack strategy. Del Valle Fresh and Fuse Tea continue to perform exceptionally well, growing 50% and 62% respectively during the quarter. In the water category, Brisa and Manantial continue to deliver positive results, supporting 10% growth in this portfolio. We began 2014 on the right foot in Colombia, growing volumes at mid to high single digits, successfully building on a 6% growth in the first quarter of 2013. we will continue capitalizing on our Colombia strategy, fostering per capita consumption through better execution at the point of sale, increased cooler colors, and a more affordable portfolio. At the South American division level, the local currency revenue management initiatives that we implemented in Venezuela, Argentina, and Brazil, coupled with our positive volume performance in Colombia and Argentina, resulted in 21% currency neutral revenue growth for the division during the year, during the quarter. The devaluation of each country's currency as applied to our US dollar denominated input cost more than offset lower sweetener prices in the division and lower PET prices in Brazil, resulting in a gross margin contraction. Operating expenses in the division continue to reflect labor and freight cost pressure in Venezuela and Argentina, changes to the transportation law in Brazil, and increased marketing investment across the division. With regard to our Philippines operation, volumes were down only slightly in the quarter, despite the typhoon that struck the Visayas region and our ongoing portfolio reconfiguration initiatives across the country. During December, we launched Minute Maid Fresh Oranges, a new low-juice content beverage tailored to the taste of the Filipino consumer. Initially, we launched a 250-milliliter one-way PET presentation with great success and consumer acceptance. More recently, in 2014, we complemented this brand offering with an 800-milliliter presentation. Consistent with our strategy, we continue to reinforce our one-way PET offerings in the marketplace. During 2013, we completed the rollout of our go-to-market approach in the Greater Manila metropolitan area with encouraging results. In 2014, we will expand our out-to-market model to cover as much as 70% of the country's volume. Now, allow me to expand on our consolidated financial position. As of December 31st of last year, we had a cash balance of 15.3 billion Mexican pesos, and our total debt was 60.5 billion Mexican pesos. Our net debt to EBITDA ratio was 1.58 times, and our EBITDA to net interest ratio was 10.6 times, highlighting the strength of our balance sheet. Over the course of the year, we took proactive steps to further strengthen our capital structure, as well as to fund our investments and acquisitions. During the past 12 months, we have leveraged our flexibility and capability to issue approximately $3.1 billion in three separate transactions in Mexico and international markets at very attractive rates. Through these issues, we perform liability management strategies that enable us to expand our investor base and improve our debt maturity profile, lengthening the average life of our debt from 4 to 8 years. Moving ahead, we will capitalize our proven ability to reduce debt, as we did subsequent to our acquisition of Panamco 10 years ago, to leverage our company over the next few years. Yesterday, our board of directors agreed to propose a dividend of approximately 6 billion Mexican pesos to our shareholders. This proposed amount represents a dividend of 2 pesos and 90 cents per share and will be paid in 2 installments during May and November of this year. As we shared with you recently, we continue to see a benign raw material environment for 2014, with PET prices remaining stable sequentially in US dollar terms and sweetener prices below 2013 levels. For the remainder of 2014, we will work diligently to achieve the synergies that we have identified in our recently merged and acquired franchise territories. Despite the structural changes, particularly in Mexico, due to the excise tax on sugary beverages, and Brazil, due to the new transportation law. We will take advantage of our team's capability to adapt our operations to the new market dynamics while remaining focused on the prospects presented by our markets. Indeed, strength of our operating team, the breadth of our multi-category diverse portfolio, and the robust profile of our geographically diversified footprint will enable us to embrace the recovery that we envision in the upcoming future. Thank you for your trust and support. And operator, I would like to open up the call for questions.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please signal by pressing *1 on your telephone keypad. If using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that's *1, and we'll go first to Alan Alanis with J.P. Morgan.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Hector. Good day. The first question I have regarding working capital in 2013, I think you had a consumption of almost 900 million pesos during the year. How do you see this going forward for 2014, Hector?
Yes, good morning, Alan. Yes, indeed, as always, we have paid very strong attention to working capital. Mm-hmm. I don't think that there is anything to worry in these numbers. Basically, this is a reflection of two main issues. One, and most importantly, is the Venezuelan situation, where our inventories are increased because of the scarcity that we find in that environment. So if we were to have normal inventory levels out of that 900 million pesos that you had mentioned, I'll say between 500 to 600 have to do with that situation in Venezuela. High inventories of raw materials and spare parts, because again, since there is a scarcity in the marketplace, every opportunity we have to buy this products to basically have stability in our operations in terms of the ongoing operations and continue with the operations. We have been taking those steps. The second element, Alan, is that we heard that we are incorporating Spike and Cia Flu. So we have in September and November. So we have the working capital mix of those businesses, and still on the revenue side, on the profitability side, they are still just starting to be incorporated, but the inventories and account receivables and everything is a one-step change that you see. So I would not put a lot of attention to those issues, Alan. I don't think that there is any strange other than the Venezuela situation that I explained, because of the scarcity that we are seeing in the marketplace for some of these spare parts and raw materials, that we need to build higher inventories to assure the continuity of our business.
Yeah, that's very clear. No, thank you so much. Now, a couple of very unrelated follow-ups, I mean, on two totally different topics. One of them is you raised prices by 16% year-to-date in Mexico. Could you comment on the volume trends that you're seeing year-to-date also in Mexico and any kind of expectation that you may have for the year? And then, last, very unrelated question as well. Any comment that you might have on the U.S. refranchising, this announcement that the Coca-Cola company made last week, whereby the territory of Chicago and Tampa were given to this beer distributor and this other entrepreneur. How do you envision the role, if any, in Coca-Cola FEMSA, if the refranchising continues, and what should we read that in this process, since none of the Latin American bottlers, you being the largest one, did not participate? Thank you.
Okay, and then let me start first with the volume trends. As you said, we increased prices around 16%.
Mm-hmm.
Say that the impact of the excise tax will call for an increase between 13% and 14%. So we have 2 or 3 extra points, basically as an effect of rounding up to the prices to to convenient price points rather than have fractional peso amount, and also to recapture some of the inflation that we have had in the year. I think that the important trends here, and that was reflected in the softness that we saw during December in Mexico. During the fourth quarter, we have a good October and good September, and December we saw some pressure on the volumes, mainly as a result, Alan, of the fact that we did some price increases towards the end of November, beginning of December, mm-hmm. in anticipation of this excess tax. Most of our competitors started to adjust prices during January. We did a subsequent price increase in January, and we think that we will have to do some other price increases probably by mid-year.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically to fully cover excise taxes and, as I mentioned, getting to the convenient price points, or what we call the magic price points. The good news is that most of our competitors have increased prices now to all reasonable levels. So whatever price gap that we had in the past, we are basically seeing those price gaps maintained. You might find some changes by package, specific packages where either Pepsi or RC Cola or Carritos, Red Cola or Carritos have anchor some presentations at certain prices, and maybe in that presentation we are opening up a price gap, but in others we are reducing price gaps. Importantly, for example, with Pepsi, the 3-liter presentation that they have, we are importantly reducing the price gap in that size.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the message is, beginning of this year, we are more or less on a level field with some variations in price gaps in specific packages, but in general, say that we are in a level field. The volume trends are pretty much in the level that I mentioned in the last conference call of our expectation for the year, 5 to 7% reduction in volumes. That's more mm-hmm. or less what we are. I think that in general, as we mentioned, we are seeing first reading of market shares, we are seeing some improvements for our brand because of the strength of the brand. So that calls for the industry also seeing reductions basically on those amounts. With respect to the U.S. refranchising, I mean, we saw the news. As we have said in the past, we need to understand what would be the relationship vis-a-vis the Coca-Cola company in this process going forward.
Mm-hmm.
When these franchises happens, we from what we are reading from the press release, because you probably have more information than us, this is more fusion contract.
Yep, they are.
The company will supply the finished product. So it's a different arrangement of what we are used to in Latin America. And mm-hmm. as always, we will have all of our screens and radar targeted to understand what is happening in this market and see how that is evolving.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is too early to really conclude what the strategy of the Coca-Cola company will be for the U.S. I mean, this is just the market of Chicago and Tampa. It's strange in the sense that it's a bit distributed and an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen in the past of movements where they have assigned some of these territories in similar conditions to other U.S. bottlers.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that at the end of the day, once strategy is announced and the process starts, I do believe that some Latin American bottlers will be also invited to take a look at this. But as I said, we need to understand the conditions of this, the commercial conditions vis-a-vis the Coca-Cola company in this process going forward. We will continue to focus in Latin America, as you can imagine, and to turn around the Philippines, and then look for opportunities in the Philippines. And I think that's what I have to say in the M&A front. I don't know.
That's very clear, Hector, as always. Thank you so much.
We'll take our next question from Lauren Torres with HSBC.
Yes, hi, good morning. Just to follow up on Mexico, you know, obviously you're coming off a tough year last year. Explain that the price increase that's based on the excise tax on beverages. Just curious, Hector, about how you think about full year. You know, is that 5-7% achievable for the year? And then I guess to think about a little further, you talked about some initiatives. You know, I wonder if that's enough to kind of keep margins stable for the year. Or, you know, how are you thinking about the environment, you know, in 2014? Do you have enough, you know, offsets to kind of get through it? Or you know, is the consumer still rough right here and there's not a lot of opportunity to grow in the market, particularly from a profitability standpoint?
Good morning, Louis. Yes, I think that in general, I mean, as you can imagine, being basically at the end of February is still kind of early to fully understand the impact of this tax initiative in Mexico. Our operators and our plan and our budget basically is work with this idea that the 5-7% reduction in volume is going to happen. As I mentioned in the last conference calls, that calls for very strict cost control. We are estimating, and I did mention this last time that we had this conference call, we are estimating that with 5-7% volume reduction, we'll have extra capacity in production plants and in distribution centers and not the supply chain, basically, distribution routes, trucks. So we are adjusting a lot of our CapEx for this year. We are looking at the production headcount, as I mentioned during the last conference call, potentially closing down some production facilities also. And with those efforts, we believe that a reduction in that volumes of 5-7%, we'll be able to maintain the profit margins. Obviously, this 5-7%, obviously the last unit cases that you sell are the most profitable. Those are the golden cases. So we need to do bigger effort in cost control and cost reduction to be able to maintain margins. But our plans for the year to do all the effort to, even in spite of this volume reduction, to maintain margins or probably to slightly margins.
And can I extend that question to Brazil? Obviously, you had a really tough fourth quarter, but you said year-to-date things are looking better. I know weather has been a benefit, but For that market, do you think you are seeing some improving trends? Is it just more a result of the weather, or do you think you're actually seeing some improvement
in the weather? In general, what we are seeing in Brazil is very encouraging first 2 months. That, during this short remarks, had to do a little bit of weather. I like to think that a lot of capabilities and towards the end of last year, of adjusting our portfolio to the market. The thing is, consumer coming back to the category in general, it did lose some market share as quarter. We are starting to see in the first readings of January some improvements in market share again. And in January, February, we are seeing high single-digit volume growth. Difficult to predict if that will stay for the rest of the year. We are seeing very, very encouraging results. again with margins, the volumes at 11, I think it will be digits, the same as I mentioned to Mexico, but the reverse. This is holding cases that bring a bunch of profitability in operations in Brazil, and we are seeing a very important expansion of margins so far, January, February. Coming kind of the peak months, and then we have Carnival. At World Cup will also be an opportunity to connect with the consumer importantly. And one important trend I'd like to mention here in Brazil. Market share that we lost during last year had more to do with the fact that generally in the industry, sparkling flavor things grew in importance. So we have a lower market share in that. So when you look at category by category, you look colas, basically were flat, and in sparkling, they were basically flat or slightly negative. But the total mix, as it was started to grow in importance a little bit more, the industry, total solution for that equation is that you see a market share reduction in our company because we are much more important in quotas. But in category by category, market share numbers are very stable. So, general, Lorena, I'd say that I have very high hopes for Brazil. A very tough comparison versus an easy comparison versus 2013 because we have a very tough year in 2013. But in general, we are seeing, as I mentioned, volumes growing, January, February, highs. Low, middle to high single digits for the year. I will call for, as well as in Mexico, we are working very closely with our operators, have very efficient supply chain so that we are seeing production plants in whole territory of Brazil. I will call for additional efficiencies or potential efficiencies, the ability of closing distribution centers and maybe even a production plan of the new territories. And we will keep working very closely to see that we achieve the targeted synergies. We mentioned that in 4 months to achieve somewhere around $50 million synergies. Working on that front, positive news also in Brazil is that the team of professionals that we found in Spaipa and Fluminense are very good. Most of them are staying with us and taking new positions within our operators, competitions. And I think that having a talented team of Brazilian professionals in France is a very positive news for Brazil.
Thank you.
We'll take our next question from Antonio Gonzalez with Credit Suisse.
Morning, Hector. Thank you for taking my question. I actually just had two questions. First one was on Venezuela. I saw in the recent development section of your press release that you talk about different exchange rates. But I just wanted to make sure I get it completely right. Could you let us know what's the percentage of your raw materials that you are importing at the official and how much at the parallel exchange rate in Venezuela? And to the extent that it's possible, whether you have any comment on what would be the percentage going forward? And then I'll have a quick follow-up question.
Sure. In Venezuela, we continue to face, and that's related to the inventory question that we mentioned at the beginning with the working capital and the effect of the inventories in Venezuela. In Venezuela, we continue to export to import 100% of our raw materials at the official exchange rate. It's taking very long for us to pay and a lot of patience for our suppliers because we have been extending some of those payments for them because we enter the, all the process, we get authorization to import the raw materials, and then the payment is sometimes delayed for well behind the official or the agreed payment dates. So far, the suppliers have been working together with the Coca-Cola company, and we have been working, obviously, very closely with them to for them to show support in these difficult times. They know that we are getting, at some point in time, we are getting the dollars out of the central bank at the official exchange rate, and we are basically asking for their patience for wait for us. But 100% of the raw materials that we are buying, it's being bought at the official exchange rate. There are very minimal things that we have been done at outside of the central bank, mainly where we don't get authorization for the importation. The first process in getting that authorization is that you need to ask and demonstrate to the authorities that the product is not available in Venezuela. So we have been moving to Venezuelan suppliers in some cases, and remember that our case, not being the owner of the brand, calls for a lot of authorization process with the Coca-Cola company that also has been helping us in this process. So we have been changing some suppliers to local suppliers, but I'd say that 99.9% of our imports are at the official exchange rate.
Thank you, Hector. And secondly, if you don't mind, I wanted to ask a more strategic question regarding capital allocation. And basically the question is whether you have been considering buying back your shares. No, and, you know, I'm coming from the angle of at the end of the day, when we see the M&A activity that took place in the last 2 or 3 years, which obviously was transformational and in many dimensions, but yet it took place at a multiple that is probably higher than what the multiple is for the publicly traded bottlers today. No, we saw transactions as high as, I don't know, maybe 16 times in Brazil. Obviously, that is impacted by goodwill amortization and some other considerations. But when you look at the correction in not just Coke FEMSA shares, but across the industry, when you think of the optimal capital allocation, I guess there's some additional elements like CapEx probably not increasing this year because of the adjustments that you mentioned earlier regarding the excise tax implementation in Mexico, but more really coming from the angle of how Coke FEMSA is thinking of allocating cash efficiently. Is there a reason why it wouldn't be attractive to buy Coke FEMSA at a much cheaper valuation than the transactions that took place in the industry over the last, I don't know, 2-3 years?
Okay. Let me go into this. Obviously, that kind of analysis, we always need to look at those opportunities, and we do analyze that in our planning process and with our finance committee. Let me mention two or three issues that are, at this moment, against doing a share buyback, an important share buyback. One is that, and probably the most important right now, is with the acquisition we did last year, the amount of debt that we have in our balance sheet has grown importantly. We still have a very healthy margins in terms of leverage and interest coverage, but similar to what we did 10 years ago when we did the acquisition of Panamco, the signal that we have or the structures that we have from our finance committee is start the leverage in the company, importantly, so that we don't have any, let's say, financial risk on top of the operational risk that is embedded in integration of new territories. So, first of all, at this specific moment in time, 2014, we do want to reduce debt, importantly. One of the rating agencies, I don't remember if it's Moody's or S&P, had us with a negative watch because they want to see gross debt to EBITDA around the 1.5 level. We are slightly above that level, and when you look at net debt to EBITDA, we are well within that number. But I think it's important that we take care of the rating agencies, and we are doing everything in our that is in our power to maintain those ratings that we have. I think that having those ratings has allowed us to look for credit very swiftly and efficiently in the marketplace, and therefore there is this consideration of maintaining the rating agencies. Another element here is that this year, or the second element will be that during this year, we are in the final process of terminating the investments of the new two plants, one in Brazil and one in Colombia. That calls for an extraordinary capex this year on top of the ordinary capex of around $200 million. So even though we are reducing our capex needs in most of our markets, especially Mexico with the reduction we were anticipating in volume, we will still have somewhere around $600 to $700 million capex number for this year, including these two operations. The number might be a little bit higher depending on how do we invest coolers and bottles and cases. Remember that as we are fostering or improving a lot of the efforts of returnability, we are investing a little bit more important than previous years on returnable bottles and cases. So my estimate is somewhere around $700 million, I'll say. It could be a little bit larger or a little bit smaller, depending how we are doing during the year. So that's a second consideration for this year. And the third point is that I think that even though the liquidity of COFEMSA has increased importantly because we have invited new shareholders and we expanded the percentage of our float, and the market cap of the company, if you compare it to other years in the past, has improved, although obviously last year we've seen a reduction in the market cap. I think that the fact that we are part of the indexes has helped us a lot on the liquidity of our shares. It took us a lot of time to be part of the Mexican Bolsa Index. I think that we need to take care of that also going forward. And that's also a consideration when we look at share buybacks.
This is extremely helpful and it makes a lot of sense. Thank you. Thank you so much, Hector.
We'll take our next question from Laura Serra with Morgan Stanley.
Thanks, and good morning. I actually wanted to ask two questions. Let me ask them one at a time. In Mexico, can you just confirm that 5-7% drop you're talking about for year-to-date, that's on an organic basis, or does that include Yoli in this period, not in the year ago? And then just the question I really have is on the operating expenses. And, you know, I'm looking at the fourth quarter and the year numbers, and the growth in operating expenses was really high, 18%. And I see the depreciation and amortization up a lot. I'm not sure why, and I don't know how much of that was the 18%. But I'm just trying to understand why the operating expenses went up so much last year. And then as you look to this year, I would guess that you're going to see a pretty strong shift in the returnables, given the pricing you've had to take, and that's higher cost to move around. So I'm wondering kind of how you're thinking about, well, where's the confidence coming from in terms of the operating expense containment next year, given those two factors. Thanks very much.
Good morning, Lori. The trend for the 5-7%, it's what I'm mentioning is organic. We started January a little bit with the effect of the inventory built up that we saw at the end of December. So that calls for a very bad December because, as I mentioned, December was a negative. In Mexico, October and November were more or less flat numbers, and then December was a negative number in volume. Including the fact that there was some inventory built up because of the new tariff that was coming in January. So at the beginning of January, volumes were substantially lower than that level, the 5 to 7%. We are seeing that number improve. We have seen some very encouraging dates when we compare on a daily basis, where the number is not that difficult from that different, excuse me, from last year. But in general, 5 to 7, when I'm referring to that, is in organic basis. In terms of the OPEX, I think that it was more a reflection of some adjustments that we had during last year, that of last year meaning the fourth quarter of 2012, where even though we were making efforts to adjust our marketing expense so that we don't have variation on a month-by-month basis, the final number for the year was smaller than we were anticipating until 2012. So we have an unusual low marketing expense during the fourth quarter of last year. That's why when you look at the full year numbers, the comparison is not as dramatic. And the other effect that you have there is that as we are investing heavily on returnability and in coolers, our depreciation expense is increasing. I don't have a specific breakdown in mind right now, but we can share that there of how much of this is because of one thing or the other. No? But I do see a more stable 2014 in that respect. I know that we have been saying this for many years, but believe me, the efforts are there in the company. We have been reducing headcount, especially on the sales and distribution area. I think that there's some work still to do going forward. And with respect to the returnability, I think that you're right. I mean, part of the increasing freight expense has to do with the fuel cost, and returnables have to go back and forth to our production plants. So there's a little bit more expense in that, but that's the fact that you are reusing or reutilizing the bottle also calls for reasonable margins in that presentation, similar to what we have in one way, including the additional expense that is related to that. Obviously, the difficult part, which is always a challenge, and that we think that we are very good at, is taking good care of your bottles and cases, because if they don't come back to your production plant, it's a very expensive proposition. That's why we believe that in some markets, our competitors are not necessarily on the same page in terms of this knowledge of how to manage with returnables. I will not be scared of the returnability. I think that it's that we will be able to have very good margins with that and protect the price points that we want to protect with this returnable products. Like, for example, this 500 milliliter returnable glass in Mexico at $5 is very, very powerful. We have seen growth, that presentation grow in excess of 30%, obviously from a very small base, but I think that is very, very important in our strategy going forward.
Okay, that's really helpful. And then just in Venezuela, I know the situation is very uncertain. If you could help us understand kind of with that extra inventory, how much days of supply do you think you have? And if you could also help us understand kind of how to think about this issue of the exchange rate. I mean, some of the companies are starting to translate at different rates. Most of them, I guess, are still at the 6.3 rate. I guess your positioning is that as long as you can get it at 6.3, then you'll continue to translate at that rate. But at what point what causes you to shift the assumptions, not the assumptions, what you do for reporting purposes? Because it seems like that's going to happen at some point. I don't know. Is it just a matter of you stay at 6.3 until you can't get all the permits, or how do we understand that issue?
You're raising a very good point, a very sensible. Let me try to be helpful here, as always. No, we have been discussing the issue of the convert of the exchange rate that we need to use for the conversion of the financial statements. We are using the 6.3 rate. We discuss very thoroughly that with our auditors. We know that some other companies are using a different rate. We believe that or in those cases, what we have seen are cases of companies that are not necessarily related to the food industry. It's more like the Procter & Gamble and the, and some Diageo. And in some cases, they don't necessarily have manufacturing facilities for those products in Venezuela, so they need to import finished products from the outside, and obviously they probably are not getting the official exchange rate for that. In our case, we discussed in yesterday's board meeting and in the auditing committee very thoroughly that we received as recently as not this last Friday, but the Friday before, we received $20 million of payments that were for our suppliers at 6:30. We even received, out of these $23 million that we received, two of those were still at 4:30, and they gave us the because these were invoices that were there in the central bank for in Caribe for more close to a year. So they respected the fact that we introduced this request for FX a year ago, and they gave us the amount for these bottle caps at 4:30. So the argument for using the 6:30, it's very strong. We know that there is a lot of pressure, and there is this new change in the convertibility laws in Venezuela, where in theory there will be some the so-called permutas or exchanges among particulars. We don't know exactly how that's going to work. In the moment, we have, and we have not had so far, access to foreign exchange for dividends. We need to use that exchange rate for dividends. The impact that we will have on the translation effect, you know the numbers from Venezuela, because we need to report that on a yearly basis in our 10-20F. It's probably somewhere around 1 billion pesos if we translate at 11 as opposed to 6 on the translation of the PNL. That potentially could be the impact on our PNL, no, of a change of that nature. But so far, in very, as I mentioned, thorough discussion with our auditors, there are a lot of reasons why 6:30 should be still applied in our PNL, as I mentioned, in our translation of the numbers. As I mentioned, close to 100% of our raw materials needed are being supplied at this exchange rate. Very recently, as I mentioned, 10 days ago, we received $20 million that cover basically 2 or 3 months of needs. A supply of raw materials, we would need to evaluate month by month when and if it's appropriate to use a different exchange rate. In terms of the number of days, it varies by raw materials, Lori, but let me give you some ideas. In some cases, like in concentrate, we have many days of inventory because we have obviously the relationship with the Coca-Cola company and the idea of maintaining or the business continuity that we both want to maintain in Venezuela. In some raw materials like caps for bottles, we are very short on inventory. We are closely, basically, as a just-in-time inventories and having 6 to 10 days inventories. PET resins, I'll say, is somewhere around a month, and it's similar to sugar. So, but it varies month by month, as we have opportunity to buy some of these raw materials, we take the opportunity and build up inventories.
Okay, very, very helpful. Thank you very much.
We'll go next to Carla Miranda with GBM.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking the question. Hector, I was wondering if you can comment a little bit about pricing in South America. So far during 2013, it seemed that, well, it didn't seem, it was the fact that the price increases implemented in local currencies weren't enough to offset the FX effects. So I was wondering if we should witness further price increases in order to offset this negative, the devaluation of local currencies in South America. And second of all, I was wondering if you can comment about the effective tax rate for 2014. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Carla. Yes, I think that in general, you will see in South America other than Mexico, obviously, because in Mexico we already said that we increase prices around 16%, which is much higher than inflation, but we have the tax, the excess tax situation. We believe that in South America, we need to increase prices with inflation. Sometimes the FX does not necessarily match the inflation numbers, and that's why when you see some distortions. But in general, our objective is to, and we think that we have the flexibility to move prices with inflation enough on all of our operations. So I would not I'm not seeing any pressure on because of our competitors on the pricing front in Latin America. With respect to the tax rate, we will see a slight increase in the effective tax rate, but somewhere close to 33% would be a good number. The slight increase is basically because of the tax reform in Mexico. There will be some expenses that are now not 100% tax deductible, and that will increase a little bit our tax rate. But remember that in Brazil, we have the effect of this amortization of goodwill, and obviously the effect of the new debt that we have now in the company, reducing the tax burden for the company. But once you take into consideration all of these numbers, the effective tax rate will be somewhere around the 33%. Okay?
Great. Thank you very much.
We'll take our next question from Luca Tipici with Goldman Sachs.
Hi. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. If possible, I would like to go back a bit to Brazil. I think you made some comments before on the profitability you were expecting for 2014, but the line wasn't great. So maybe if you can elaborate a bit more on that. And also on Brazil, as time has gone on, where would you think we may hear on incremental potential synergies on SPIPA? The target initially was relatively low. So as you know, you've been a few months into the integration, into the conclusion of the transaction, so I'm curious to know if there will be some news there. And lastly, given the volatility of the currency in Venezuela, in Argentina, and the size of Brazil in the LATAM operation, is it plausible to think that you will maybe report the region separately at some point so that it's easier to track the progress on margins, on top line, and on the improvements as well with the integration? That would be my question, please.
Yes, I think that, Luca, good morning. I think that in general, Brazil, as I mentioned, as we are seeing high single-digit volume growth numbers so far in January, February, and we expect somewhere between mid-single-digit to high single-digits for the rest of the year. I think that we will see improvements in the margins in Brazil, definitely. I believe that the reduction that we saw last year, we saw an important reduction in the EBITDA margins and EBIT margin and EBITDA margins. I don't know if we are going to recuperate 100% of that reduction in margin, but certainly we'll make a good inroad in the Cuban part of that. We are seeing that trend in January, February, and I think that it's important that you have that in mind. Synergy-wise, we are working very well with the Fiaflu, with Fluminense integration. We are well in track. Remember that was integrated in September. SPIPA, we are well on track on that, but it's still too early because we basically finalized this integration in November. We're in the process of finalizing the reorganization. As I mentioned, we are staying with a very good, talented group of professionals from SPIPA and CFLU, but it's too early for us to change our expectation on the synergies from SPIPA. So somewhere around, as I mentioned, the $19 million in CFLU, 33 in SPIPA is still the target number that our executives have there. I'm certain that at some point in time, we'll be able to discuss this with more detail and probably change our expectation on that as we find more opportunities. I agree with you that is on paper, $33 million for SPIPA looks a little bit smaller, although it's an important element for the synergies going forward. And in terms of the volatility of that we are seeing in Venezuela and Argentina, especially on the currency, we don't see that in Brazil yet. Brazil is obviously now a very important element of our company because of we increased the size of our operation there basically by 40%, and it's very large now. Venezuela, we do have to report separately as a separate region on a yearly basis on the 20th, with some indicators, which basically because of the exchange controls. I think that we are still far from that in Argentina because inflation numbers, although being higher now, is still far from hyperinflationary accounting, which is one of the elements why Venezuela has to be reported separately in addition to the FX control. But as always, Luca, we try to provide information in terms of the top line and volume and the consumer trends on a region-by-region basis. So far, I don't think that we will necessarily open financial statements of those sectors going forward.
For Brazil specifically, you don't think you will isolate the numbers just for Brazil in the future for profitability growth, like you do for the region as a whole today?
No, we do not have plans to do that so far.
Okay, that's clear. Many thanks. Thank you.
We'll go next to Fernando Ferreira with Bank of America Merrill Lynch.
Thank you, and thanks for taking my question. I had two questions, actually. First one, can you comment when you look at the volumes in different categories in Mexico so far this year? Are you seeing some shift or growth in categories like water or Coca-Cola Light and diet presentations, or you're seeing declines across the board?
Good morning, Fernando. Yeah, no, we are seeing certain trends where you have some of the caloric products climbing at a faster pace. We are seeing some improvements in the mix of non-caloric products. Let me give you basically an idea. Although it's very small compared to other countries, Mexico, non-caloric represent somewhere around 3 to 4%. Within that number, and obviously January and February is early to most, right, we are seeing an increase of non-caloric products on the volumes of non-caloric are around 5% during those 2 months versus a reduction caloric CSDs of a little bit more than 7% decline that I mentioned. So in total, the company is between the 5 to 7%. but we are seeing alkaloids growing, water growing, and basically CSDs and juices and nectars, mainly because of the price changes that we've seen. Remember that one of the strategies that we have is that Coca-Cola Light price parity will price Coca-Cola because it's premium product. Coke Zero is sustained below the price of Coca-Cola because since it's not affected with the tax, we are staying with that price point, which is a different strategy again that Coca-Cola Light is. Coca-Cola Light is not being taxed, but we are increasing the price because of the premiumness of that brand. So we are seeing some shift in the trends of the different the different categories within the salt drink.
That's clear. Thanks, Hector. And I had another question. I don't know if you already mentioned that, and I apologize if you did, but I'd like to understand also in Mexico, what's the strategy for branding advertising this year, and also how do you think about SG&A? Do you see the SG&A being sustained at the same levels we've seen over the last few years, or will we have some extra support from the Coca-Cola company in terms of advertising?
I think that, I think that we'll be very cautious with the with the expenses on the marketing expenses. But in general, whenever we have this kind of situations in the countries, like a new tax in Mexico or a currency movement in Argentina, we normally you see a continuation of the marketing strategies because I believe those are the opportunities when you capture important inroads in the market. So my answer will be we are going to be cautious, but we will see similar levels of marketing expenses throughout the year. The only caveat for that in Mexico is that as we see volumes declining, remember that part of the investment that we do in coolers goes to the marketing side, which is a marketing asset that we use, and it is reflected there. Coolers, we will continue to invest, probably not at the same pace because we will have some extra capacity in the coolers that we have already in there. So we'll see a lot of activity of redeploying the assets that we have to points of sale that are performing better. And that will call for a slight reduction on the marketing expense in Mexico just because of a lower level of marketing assets in the market. But it's important that we bear in mind that in every crisis that we have had in Latin America in the past, the company continues to invest on these marketing assets and on advertising. And we have benefited from that in the past. We have the World Cup here that normally calls for more marketing expenses around all the world, because it's an event that Europe and America and Africa and Asia invest heavily behind that. And generally, I'll say that we will not see kind of operating expense growth that we saw during the fourth quarter, because as I mentioned, it was a little bit expensive because of marketing expenses in 2012, and we'll see a more normalized OPEX going forward.
Okay, perfect. Thanks, Edgar.
We'll take our final question from Marco Montanez with Vector.
Good morning, Hector, and thank you for taking my question. Could you share with us the budgeted exchange rates for 2014 for the currencies in Argentina, Brazil, and Venezuela, please? I mean, in particular, in the case of Argentina and Venezuela, do you have any stress scenario for the expected rates? And the second one, if I may, and regarding the freight cost in Mexico, could you give us more color about it? Is there any regulatory impact or increase in the fuel prices? Thank you very much in advance.
Let me go to the later. Obviously, our budgeting process are exercises. These are exercises where we use some sensitivities and we do several analyses of the potential changes in that. And basically, we have in our analysis, and we use the ranges for that. No, we are assuming a 12.8 average exchange rate for Mexico. That by now it's our economist estimation for the average of the year. In terms of the real, we are somewhere around where the level where it is right now, 235 to 240. And in the Venezuela exchange rate, we are using somewhere around the 9.8 exchange rate. But it's just, again, just for budgeting purposes and in some scenario statistics. Very difficult to obviously predict what these numbers will be, but more or less our estimate. But in Argentina, we're around the 9 to 9.2 numbers. Right now, 7.7. No? Those are more or less the averages that we have in countries. I didn't follow up on the second question. Were you referring to sugar? I lost you a little bit on that, Marco. If you can repeat the second question.
Yes, of course. Regarding the freight cost in Mexico, I don't know if you want to share with us if there's any regulatory impact or increase in the fuel prices. I mean, at the end of the last year, there was some regulatory reforms in Mexico in order to have some changes in that activity. So, well, I don't know if you can give us more color about it.
Yes, Michael, sorry. Yes, I understand. In terms of freight, we are seeing some. It's a slight pickup in freight expenses, and that has two main variables. One has to do with the increase in fuel prices that, you know, in Mexico is adjusted every month and it has been increasing importantly. And the other element, although smaller, is also important to take into consideration. Our mix of returnable continues to increase because we are going behind this strategy of having affordable prices with returnable presentation. Returnable, the DNA of the returnable calls for the product going back and forth to the marketplace and the plants. And that will also imply some extra freight expenses. There is nothing special in the regulatory front. There has been talks of limiting the size of the trucks, nothing definitely, but remember that most of the freight that potentially could be affected by that is done by third parties. So we'll assume that the party will adjust to whatever regulation there is in that front. But what we have in our P&L reflected in 2014 is a slight increase in freight, mainly as a result of fuel prices, and a little bit because of the increase in returnable mix.
Okay, excellent. Very clear. Thank you so much, Hector.
This concludes today's question and answer session. I'd like to turn the call back to Mr. Trevino for closing remarks.
Thank you for the interest in Coca-Cola FEMSA, and as always, Jose and Roland are available to answer any remaining questions that you may have, and we look forward for another conference call in probably in a month and a half as this first quarter numbers are coming very soon. Thank you.
This does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation.